This is Ron Moss from the Heart. I've been talking the last few podcasts about health issues or healthy living, and I kind of wanted to give a little bit more biblical reference because I feel like that's important to do. And so I wanted to start this process off again dealing with biblical content and then kind of hopefully move it into real world discussion. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, "Do you not know?" It's a question being asked. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And it says, "You are not your own." Paul is confronting the Christians at the church of Corinth about sexual immorality. Apparently, some argued that since our bodies will die and decay, it doesn't really matter what we do with them. It's only the spirit in us that matters, they might say. Likewise, they might argue that we were free to pursue whatever sexual expressions they liked. And Paul, he rejected these false teachings. The idea that our bodies don't matter is ultimately false. A Christian's body is where the Holy Spirit lives. In a sense, Paul elevates our bodies to the level of being temples, holy places, that houses the Spirit of God. God gives his spirit to every person who trusts in Christ for salvation. Mysteriously, we carry his spirit in our bodies. I wanted to make sure I touched on that because I wanted to give true biblical reference to what that meant. But I want to kind of broaden the conversation a little bit because I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, our young people. And it kind of falls kind of in line with what Paul is talking about, too. But I thought about a few things this morning, and I thought about some things about how, you know, my growing up had changed or how the process of growing up has changed for our young people as it relates to eating. Now, when I was growing up, it was a little different. It was five of us in the household, so, you know, mom and dad didn't really have a boatload of money that they can spend on us to go out and eat all the time. And so I remember for us, you know, we ate syrup sandwiches, we ate mayonnaise sandwiches, we ate cheese grill sandwiches, and our favorite, which is probably one of my favorites today, is bologna sandwiches. And I can remember one of the greatest meals that we would eat would be, you know, bologna and pork and beans, you know, or my father, one of his famous meals were where he would, you know, chop up the wieners and put them in the pork and beans. And you're talking about a meal, you know, what a wonderful meal. And so we would enjoy, you know, that would kind of be our favorite foods that we would like to eat. Or when they would boil eggs and make egg sandwiches, you know, mix that up with mayonnaise and all that good stuff. That was kind of, you know, I guess that was our fast food experience back in the day because we couldn't afford to go to McDonald's or Dairy Queen or the other fast food places that existed during that time. But as I look at generations now, you know, and look at how our young people are eating and how our young people are living. You know, it used to be a time when, again, and I think I've talked about this before, when, you know, physical education was not just mandatory. You know, it was kind of great because you had a chance every single day to get some exercise in, you know, that you had an opportunity to do something physical for your body. So if you were not an athlete, you know, if you didn't play a particular sport, you still had an opportunity every single day, Monday through Friday, to get some exercise in because it was a requirement It was a part of our curriculum in school. So we went to physical education. And it would appear that now, one, because, you know, we kind of live in this world now where we kind of allow our young people to make decisions that, you know, parents are not parenting anymore. They kind of let the child do what they want to do and kind of let the child make decisions based on not just their health, but kind of based on everything, every aspect of life. And I believe that all of us have to have some direction. All of us have to have some discipline. All of us live based on right and wrong. And when you make a decision to kind of let things just kind of do whatever they want to do, that result usually ends up not being a good one. And so I thought about our young people and what it's like to live in today's society and look at what's really happening in today's society as relates to them and as it really relates to health. And I thought about how, you know, for example, you know, nowadays, you know, we probably, if we're honest, you know, we probably allow our young people to consume probably most of their foods from fast food restaurants. You know, we're all in a hurry now. We're living a microwave society now. And we're in a hurry. So 9 times out of 10, you're going to give your child some money, enough money. If they're not going to eat at school, if they're not going to be able to fix a meal at the house, you know, stop by your favorite, you know, fast food restaurant and get you something to eat. Stop by and get your burger. Stop by and get your burger and some fries. You know what you need to take to fill you up. And it says here in some research that I've done that children and adolescents consume an average of 13.8% of their calories from fast food on any given day. Adolescents aged 12 to 19 consume a higher average percentage of daily calories from fast food than did any younger children. And it says frequently eating fast food could cause teens and young adults to gain more weight and face an increased risk of developing insulin resistance. And it goes on to just continue to talk about, you know, the end results of, you know, eating fast food on a regular basis. You know, I say this all the time that, you know, unfortunately, in our society or in our world, you know, we get used to eating and you get used to the behavior of eating in a certain kind of way. And if you think about it, I thought about this the other day. I thought about how many times when I ate dinner, you know, at home, you know, because think about this for a minute. I want you to think about, we don't even really sit down at the table anymore, right? So there's no process where one gets to sit down and have a conversation with the family. We just kind of all live, like I said, just kind of doing our thing. And you know, even to the process of eating processed meat. And I'm talking about that favorite bologna sandwich and those other sandwiches that we go and buy at the grocery store that also can, if we eat too much of it too often, can have a negative effect on our body, on our arteries, on our system, on how we live healthy, how we live longer. And it can have an effect on all of that. And so I thought about this and I thought, you know, how critical it has to be that we have this conversation, you know, and I think about how, you know, we talk about all the things that we used to do and how of things that we don't do anymore. And at least I can remember, you know, particularly when we would go eat at my grandmother's house, you know, we would all sit around at the table and eat together. And I don't know if we ever had any conversations about health, but I just thought about the fact that what a great opportunity to start a conversation if we would at least make it mandatory or at least say, hey, if we can, why don't we all try to eat dinner or breakfast, you know, at least one time or twice a month. You know, look how much time I'm giving folk, you know, this is how fast we are and how we've got to start somewhere where we can at least have a conversation. Wouldn't it be nice to know that we can live? You know, I know that there are some things that are genetic that we can't do anything about because of what our foreparents done or, you know, what folks ate and did back in the day. But moving forward, why can't we just do all that we can do for our temple, for our body, you know, for this body that we have to live in. We don't get another one. This body that we have to keep as healthy as we can. And hopefully all of us want to live a long and productive life. You know, I don't really meet a lot of people on the streets that say, hey, I'm just trying to live to be 20. I'm just trying to live to be 30. I'm just trying to live to be 40. I'm just trying to live to be 50. I think most of us want to live as long as we can. And that's a good thing. But there are some things that come with that. You know, one is, again, I say this and I'll say it all the time, that there are two things that are important to me now. My relationship with Christ. Me reading the Bible, me understanding the Bible, me getting closer to Jesus, me getting closer to God, me getting closer to the Holy Spirit, and my health. And so for that to take place, I have to take time out and read and exercise and grow and be family oriented, have conversations, particularly if I have kids who at teenage age or high school age, preschool age, I've got to have conversations and I've got to be able to put some food in the refrigerator, you know, that's going to affect how they live. You know, the sad reality is that I term this now as kind of a slow moving death. You know, the more you continue to eat foods that are not designed to help you, you're slowly moving down this road, this winding road, to eventually you won't be able to move anymore. You know, are you opening yourself up for diabetes and strokes and heart attacks and all the things with coming that come with, you know, with health and good eating and or bad eating or not eating the right things on a consistent basis. I said this the other day. I am not probably ever going to give up hamburgers. I love them. I love French fries. I love, you know, fried chicken and baked chicken. I love all those foods. It's just that I've learned now not to eat them as much. You know, I've made kind of eating hamburgers kind of a every once a month treat. I've made eating pizza a once a month treat. You know, when I used to would eat it probably two or three times a week, you know, sometimes all week. You know, French fries was something I ate probably every day. You know, the McDonald's fries with that salt and that all that sweet good eating. You know, and I was on my way to a slow death, you know, and by the grace of God, you know, he's allowed me to continue to be here. And I believe to help others understand that importance, to help others understand that you can live a long, productive life. If you look at every time you look in the mirror, understand that this body is really a precious temple that was given to you by God. And it's not yours. He still owns it. That's why one day, you know, he's going to take that spirit back. And that body is going to go back to the source from which it came. The dirt, the dust. But while you are living, while you are still here, while you are still in your right mind, while you can still walk up and down a flight of steps, while you can still go back and forth to work, I want you to be more thought processing. I want you to be more thought provoking about your body. I want you to start to move into an arena, particularly, you know, I'm talking to adults now. I want you to move into a particular arena where you start having conversations to your young child, your young cousins and your young nieces and nephews, and talk to them about healthy living. Tell them that you don't want them to end up like you. Tell them that there is a problem if you're overweight. Yeah, I know you see so-and-so who's part of the ministry of music and so-and-so who is part of the preaching unit. And they look like they could be overweight. They look like they can have a problem. But that still doesn't have to be you. And I think that if one of the places that need to be healthy more than any other place should be the house of God. But you have to talk about it. You might have to talk about how do you change, you know, the days that we eat dinner or we have programs, and after the programs, you know, we end up calling Pizza Hut and we end up calling other places, and we're now back to square one again as it relates to health. You may have to sacrifice and buy the fruits and vegetables and more the plant food. And it's going to take some time to get young people used to doing something that they haven't had to get used to for so many years. But, you know, I believe that their health, you can't put a price on it. And it, I believe it's worth the sacrifice. You know, I hope and pray that you will do your homework, that you will start to think more about this. And to go back to Paul and go back to 1 Corinthians, I want to end it this way. What group of people, what generation of people deal with sexual immorality than anybody else that have this energy about sexual desires and other things? It's our young people. And so if we're not living right, then there's a good chance they're not going to end up living right either. They're going to look at their bodies as a sex object. They're trying to figure out, what do I need to wear to get that young man to be interested in me? Or what do I not need to wear? And vice versa. My hope and my prayer is that we will think more about health and healthy living as we continue to grow and as we continue to get to know more about Jesus Christ. The more that we get to know more about God and the more that we get to know about the Holy Spirit, I think it'll not only make us better, but it'll make our life better too. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh yeah. Peace.